Oh, welcome. This is Inspired and Inspiring Self-Care, live with Linda and friends, June 29th. And it's just perfect that we're here together with Pam and Sage and Ava on this day. Let's see if we have any more. I'll go to the gallery. We've got all of you. Oh my gosh, I didn't see everybody. This is incredible. It's so funny. I see only people at the top. And then I open you up and hi, Teresa, Diane, hi, Jilly. Good evening, evening for you. Maggie, Angela, Tyra, Becky, and Monica, hi. This is, I'd like to, and Kirsten, hi, you're back on. I'd like to begin with a heart hug. Celebrating the fact that we can be together in this way. And I would like each one of you in your own quiet space to count, just say to yourselves three things for which you are deeply grateful. And let us send with the next heart hug just cascades of light, as Dr. Fritz Albert Popp talks about, this cascade of light throughout our bodies, just with like celebration that we're in this body, this vessel that contains our soul. And I would like to begin this morning by calling in to be with us Lindsay Dankins-Eden. She crossed the Rainbow Bridge at 3:33, actually, technically, on Sunday morning, after going in the best way you can, at the top of her game, with her horses that she loved, really happy, tearing her house apart, redecorating, and her son's there with it all now, very happy to continue. And she was just gone. She was 77 last month and never looked more vibrant. And on Thursday morning, at this same time that we start this at 8 a.m. my time, 11 a.m. Pacific time, we're having a gathering and a celebration of her life. Because she has been a part of this detox family since the 80s. And I bring this up, even though there are many of you who don't know her, because it's a wake-up call to really take stock of the blessings. That's what she had been doing for quite some time. That's why I said she's at the top of her game. She was totally into all this stuff that you hear me talking about with Greg Braden and Bruce Lipton, and this concept of creating our own reality. She'd been doing this for many, many years, working on it, and it had just been coming together in the last few years in a way that was perfect. And I want us to trust this body, this vehicle in, and bring forward what I would like to, I'd like to actually just mention on welcome. Hi, Penny and Monica and Friedel. Brandy, hi. Lauren, Christina, Razia. I think we got the rest of you. And I want to share with you this T-Touch journey. That was what Lindsay Dankins-Eden had been on with me since 84. And I want to share something with you that happened to me last week. I, for the last maybe 4 days, my right elbow started like really just giving a twinge, but not enough that I would pay attention to it. And then not last night, but the night before, I woke up in the morning and man, I couldn't move it. I couldn't lean on it. I couldn't do anything with it. And I'm thinking, oh my God, it's this osteoarthritis, which is what now I've been diagnosed with. I was a year ago, but I didn't believe it. And now I started, and the reason I didn't believe it, and I want you to understand this, is that I'm told, well, you have pain in various joints, but how come I haven't had that pain? And then I realized I have had that. I've had that pain on my hand, my finger, But as soon as it happens, instead of me saying, oh my gosh, I just start detouching it and it goes away. And so I thought, okay, Linda, let's get to work. And I have to tell you that I use T-Touch with all the pressure that I could, as much pressure as I could. Now, we have quite a few new people, new to T-Touch, and I'm just using whatever part of my hand. Sometimes I hold the elbow and I use my thumb and then I use my forefinger. It's this 1 1/4. And we talk about pressures. I'm going to review this again today. This pressure is 1 to 10. Normally we talk to our bodies with a 2 to 3 because we're connecting with the cells, with this brilliance in our cells. But in this case, I'm using as much pressure as I can on this bone. Why? Didn't hurt anymore when I did it. It hurt anyway. And I did this just like this, just like moving it. And follow me a moment. Just do this on your own arm because just looking doesn't work. But if you, I'm doing 1 1/4 and I'm imagining this 1 1/4. And I went all around it. And I found if I went down my arm, there was a part here, like yesterday, that was sensitive. But so I went lighter. Where it was sensitive down this area, I went lighter. And I did it for maybe 4 minutes, really intensively. And then I left it alone. And it was way less. And it's completely gone, that pain. And I really want you to understand, because in this day and age, so many of us have unidentifiable issues going on in the body that I believe are a reflection of what the heck is going on in the world. And we can other it. And Becky, I really appreciated your comment yesterday when you said, Becky said that she was at a training with me here, a T-Touch training in Hawaii. And I think, do you want to tell it again, Becky? Because it was so interesting. I want to tell you actually what I meant by that.
My dogs are all barking right now. I'll have to come back and tell it later.
Okay. So Becky said that I just looked at her and I said, your leg's not attached. And so I said, would you like me to do something? And so I did some coiled pythons on her leg. And Kirsten, maybe I could get you to show that again, to pull up that 2-minute video on the coil, I'll just do it on the calf because that's what I did. And then I said something like, your leg isn't connected to your body. And then it was. And so you think like, wait a minute, what did I mean by that? Your leg isn't connected to your body. And what I meant by that is when we have pain, our tendency is to ignore it and or really deny it. Either way, it's called othering. And when we do that, it disconnects it from the body. Now, this is one of the amazing, amazing things about this work that we have, these 1 1/4 circles that we finally realize is a spiral, It's that same golden ratio spiral that is in all of nature. And so, just with whatever part of the hand that you can easily use, it can be your thumb, it can be, I went in like this on my hip yesterday. Look, put your thumb along the side of your finger. And Teresa, we came up with a name for this particular one, and I can't remember it, but you're going to see what we've been doing with it, names, in a beautiful mind map in a little bit. So look, so I put it, my thumb on the side of the joint like this, and then that gave me like more security, more possibility for doing that movement on my hip like that, right in here. Now, while I'm at it, because I talked to somebody yesterday, I forget who it was, about their sciatic nerve. If it's sciatic nerve, whoa, don't go in with deep pressure. Make a circle, and we call that either the owl because of the O, or the blowfish. For those of you who've been to Hawaii, these blowfish have this funny little round mouth. So you don't put pressure on sciatica. I make this circle and I go just over it. And I do not understand. I'm doing it where you can see. I do not understand why you can just disappear sciatic nerve pain from that. But I've done it a couple of times because if I walk too fast, if I'm keeping up with someone else, that can happen to me. And during my Feldenkrais training from some of the ATA awareness through movement movements, I had it, and man, I couldn't, it took days to get rid of it. And that's that fast. I mean, we're talking minutes. So I really want to hear from some of you. First of all, any questions about what I just said? Because it's in our hands, all these different parts of our hands that we give animal names to so that we can identify and we can differentiate and find, wait a minute, what part of the hand can I use to help me get over this pain that I have?
Well, and Linda, while we have a second, my dogs are quiet. Want
to
go back.
So wait, hold on, Becky. If you could say your name first so that we can.
I'm Becky Davis. And I would say why that was such an important moment for me was that if you had asked me, I had torn a medial collateral ligament in my knee. And if you had asked me, are you healed? I would have said, yes. I would have said, I'm fine. But when Linda watched me walk, she saw what I couldn't even feel in my body. And I think you're dead on about this, Linda, that it's othering, you know, that across that time, part of how I had coped with that was to disconnect myself. And yep. It's a little difficult to describe, but when Linda finished and asked me to walk, I had an awareness of that leg from my foot all the way up through my hip that I had not had until before that injury.
Fascinating,
and
eh?
I felt connected in a different way. And so to me, it's almost like even when we think we're sometimes past an injury or healed from an injury, that otheringness that you're talking about can persist at levels we don't even realize.
And that's when we ask our bodies, if you're working with yourself, you ask your body, okay, if my cells could talk, where would, like, I'm thinking right now of somebody in the last training we did who'd had a 20-year-old scar from a cesarean that she didn't want. And she was really still, 20 years later, really angry about it, that it had been done to her. The scar was a pretty, she thought, very ugly, and pain still really bothered her. And so I said to her, if your cells could talk, where, how far away from the body would your cells like you to start the circular T-touches? And it was a good 12 inches away. And I just had her move her hand and feel that. So if you have, like, especially if it's an old, not just physical, but emotional scar, that anger still at the doctor for doing this. And it took her, we did it right there in the class. She could get her hand much closer and she felt better about it. And she kept working. It's what I love about these classes every Tuesday. It took, maybe one of you remember, but it took maybe at least 3 weeks before she could really comfortably T-touch all around it very gently and bring Ho'oponopono into it, bring the forgiveness into it. Forgiveness of herself, taking responsibility, forgiving the doctor, forgiving anything around it. And the release came from the scarring, and it changed. So it didn't go away completely, but it was no longer an issue. And if you have had any life-threatening surgery, in other words, you went under the knife and you didn't know what the outcome was going to be, that's when I find that you have this residual, often this residual issue to deal with. So I would thank you very much for sharing that, Becky. I'd like to hear some more sharing. And if you have, if we could bring this discussions into the group here. So with Kirsten and Sage, if we can, like, if you have comments or questions or thoughts, this is our opportunity in this safe place to share and to feel.
Linda, yeah. Catherine has her hand raised, and then Christina has a question.
Catherine.
Hi there, Linda. So what I wanted to mention a couple of things in the context of what you're talking about. So I feel like I'm just exploring now the use of the T-touch, although I've known it for a long time and used it a bit, but I'm still really learning that. But with regard to this surgery thing, I had a full hip replacement about, I think it's 4 years ago or so. And what's relevant to that, it worked beautifully. And my whole body and left leg works better than it was for some time before. What intrigues me is that although I live and know the Feldenkrais work, when I went into the healing from that hip replacement, somehow I had the idea I would be able to do all sorts of reading and thinking, because, like, it's my hip that's healing. And in fact, my body, and I think it's because of my immersion and, you know, like, I've soaked in Feldenkrais for 30 years, folks. So, I mean, I was in the training back in Amherst with Moshe. My body knew to take over and tell me, like, no, 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 no. You are going to rest and let me heal this. And so for about a week or so afterward, all that I wanted to do was just lie there in various positions that I found comfortable. And it's funny, I don't usually watch TV, and I didn't until recently before that use a little cell phone, this little one that I have, because I like, it fits in my hand, and I love that it fits in my hand. And what I watched was that show that I forget the name of it, with Lily Tomlin and Jane Fonda, where they were a pair, and it's a real, and people had told me it was really funny. So, and it was. So I, like, and I don't do binge watching, but what I did that week was binge watch that show, let my body heal, and laugh and enjoy these amazing women interacting together. And I know that that helped my body heal, and that I was crazy to have thought I could do intellectual work during that time, because my body was using all parts of me in this healing of the hip. And I'm so glad that I had enough body intelligence that I didn't try to overcome it, and I couldn't have because it was stronger than this part that thought I could do the head. And it worked really well, and I have like almost no scar. And my doctor is just a delight. I saw him recently, and what he wanted to do was show me pictures. He knows I love skiing. He showed me pictures he took of his kids skiing, and that's what we did in this follow-up years later. And I actually had a problem because I pushed too hard and thought I should walk more than I could. And something occurred that had never happened with some sort of slippage. And he kept apologizing. Imagine, this is a male doctor and he apologizes. And his woman assistant was kind of telling him, I could hear back then that she was like coaching him, you can't say that. This woman could sue you if you apologize. He didn't say that, but I thought that was the implication. Yeah. But it did heal perfectly finally, although something slipped. And so I just thought people would like that story because I'm just so happy with that. And what I've done over the years, I've noticed with taking medication for blood pressure, is like, I really like the pills. And so I have sort of automatically developed this like positive relationship and thinking they're cute. Like one of them is blue and I love the color. And another one looks like a tiny little football. And I think it matters that I like the medication instead of experiencing it as some alien thing. I really experience it as helping me. And my blood pressure has been under control since I've been taking these two medications. And I'm sure they're the right medication, so I appreciate that from the doctor. But I think it matters not to experience it as like, oh, I have to take medication. It's like, no, it helps me remain me. So with the T-Touch, I'm still experimenting with the level of pressure and when to use that and when to draw on what I know from the Feldenkrais. So I'll come back in on that later. I don't think I know yet.
Beautiful. Thank you so much. And I am certainly, from my experience, it just makes sense that yes, we invite whatever that we're taking to be a part of our ideal function. And I love, you know, it's something that maybe, Marie, you would be willing to share this, because we found over the years when with people doing chemo, that if you bless that and thank the fluid that is the chemo that is coming in to you, that it makes a difference. And Marie had that experience. Would you be willing to share that, Marie?
Yeah, and I was really, as you know, Linda, I was really struggling with, I had to start 3 months of very aggressive chemo. And the first two infusions I found really difficult and very debilitating. And the third one was just, I was actually going to stop because it was, it just made me feel, there were other issues. I was waiting for results and things as well, but, Linda and I spent some time and she spoke to me about thanking the, infusion, and I'd got a real issue with poisoning my body. That's how I'd felt about chemotherapy, that it was poisoning my body, and it just felt wrong to me. And Linda helped me to think differently about it and to be grateful for it and to thank it for what it was doing. So when I had the fourth like big infusion, I remembered to do that, and it just made a huge difference. It made a difference to the whole experience while I was at the hospital. I was still absolutely exhausted after, because it was an aggressive infusion, but I just somehow felt better about it all. And I've now gone on to, and I was really frightened about this. My second 3 months of chemo is a weekly infusion. but it just feels so different. And I just find myself the first week, I was still a little bit concerned, but I did remember to thank it. And then I was much better afterwards. I recovered much better from it. And then last week, I kind of arrived at the Arden Centre and just found myself really smiling and just really, and the nurses, they're just amazing, the staff there. But this really smiley nurse met me, and I was smiling at her, and she was sort of saying, you know, how are you doing this week? And I was saying, much better. And she said, oh, it's so good to, you know, to that you're so happy. And it just kind of, I was there for 5 hours, but it kind of flew through. It was just amazing. And I've had sort of three really good days after the chemo. Late Mondays and Tuesdays, I get quite tired again. So I'm quite tired tonight. So if I disappear or nod off, please excuse me. Because today I have blood tests and then I go for my next infusion on Thursday. But I can't believe that this is already. I was thinking, oh, 12 weeks every week. And it just felt like it was going to be really much more difficult, but it just isn't. And I'm sort of finding myself on week three and feeling, just thank you so much, Linda, for helping me to just see it differently. And, you know, and thank you for, was it Catherine that just shared? Because I was just sort of thinking tonight, that I was going to ask about, you know, how can I just energize myself more in the second part of the week, instead really of being grateful that the first 3 or 4 days I'm feeling so much better. And that was really interesting, Catherine. And yes, I think I do need to listen to my body and let it rest when it needs to rest. So that's me so far this week.
Marie, thank you. And Catherine, it's Frankie and Grace is the name of that show. And you can get it on Netflix. And Roland and I just started watching it over again for the second time because it makes us smile. It makes us laugh. And it's a funny subject. You'd think it wouldn't be funny, but they're hilarious and poignant, actually, if you haven't seen the show.
It's two women in their 70s, and that's wonderful, who are starting a business, running a business, and making people laugh. And it's like, yes, yes. It's like, it's not TV telling us, it's people in their 20s or 30s. It's two women in their 70s or so. So I love that. And by the way, also my husband and sister went through chemo, Marie. And I really think that part of why, and they are both, and let's hope it continues, really healthy 4 or 5 years later. And they had horrible diagnoses, the kind that when you read the things about that disease, it says dismal whatever. You know, the doctors use the word dismal. And so it wasn't just that they had something light, and they got through it. And it really was a combination of their attitudes and the high quality of care they got from the doctors and how they interacted with the situation. It was all of those.
Thank you so much for sharing that. And what I'd like to hear is a couple more like questions or comments, and then I'm going to actually lead you. I'm going to show you, Kirsten, if you could be ready to have that little video up. And I'm going to review some of the, and also have the nine elements. So we just look at this, we bring it logically to us. And then we actually start addressing some places on our body.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead. Yes, we had a couple, we'll take those. Who was next?
Can I step in, Linda? Going back to what Catherine said about the blood pressure tablets, at the moment my blood pressure is dangerously high and I tend to not get on very well with blood pressure tablets. They tend to give me such adverse reactions, which is why it's so uncontrolled. But I totally agree with what you were saying, Catherine, about being positive about it, because if you welcome the medication into your body will work with it. If you don't welcome it, or you're feeling negative about it, then your body will fight it. It's a bit like it's saying, well, you know, I've got to defend you against this because you're telling me it's not a good thing to have. And so being on some new medication now, I definitely am going to embrace the new meds with all my heart, and hopefully it'll work.
So Dilly, may I give you, I'd like to address that because I was also dealing with high blood pressure, and what I have discovered, I mean, I'm doing a whole bunch of stuff with naturopathic and it's really come down. I'm just so pleased how it's come down in the last, over the last 6 months. But I would love you to hear again the experience of Angela. Would you be willing to talk about your experience with the blood pressure? I think it was you, right?
Yes, it was.
Yes.
It was my dad who had a mini stroke, and my mum was really concerned about his blood pressure getting really high because the hospital has said if it reaches a certain rate, then, you know, you phone 999. His blood pressure was high. My mum's was through the roof because she was worried about my dad, and got them doing the heart hug that you'd shown us. And mum took his blood pressure sort of, I can't remember if it was 10 minutes or half an hour afterwards, but it dropped right down. And so had my mum's. And yeah. It was amazing. And I shared this story with another friend of mine who she's in her early 70s. And she said, I've got really high blood pressure. And she's very analytical and she really likes to put things to the test. And she measured it and she said, it really does work. It really made the blood pressure really drop down. It's just believing in it. You must remember to smile. That's so important. Yeah. And think the positive things. And when you really focus like that, it really does work and makes a difference.
Thank you, Angela. Brilliant.
Yeah. And it is counting the gratitudes, counting your blessings and the smile that activates the serotonin. And think about the gentle movement of the tissue activates the oxytocin, what Bruce Lipton is calling the trust hormone. And it's the gentle movement and the light, and in light, what I mean by that is light movement of the tissue. So thank you. Are there...
We have the question and she has her hand raised.
Great. Thank you, Kirsten. Christine, where are you? Can you wave your hand so I can see you? Oh, there you are, up in the corner. Okay, go ahead, Christina.
My problem is that I have several sensitivities towards foods and I can't sleep very well. It doesn't matter how much heart hugs I do or tea touch all over my belly. It does lower my heart rate in the evening, but I still can't sleep very well. And I know that because it's now 9:30 p.m. and it's too late. I know that because I'm here watching a screen, I won't sleep tonight. It doesn't matter how much heart hugs I do. And I can't go out to eat with anyone because there is nothing in a cafeteria or a restaurant that I can eat. And I just don't know what to do. This is like my last resort.
I understand. And so I want to see you. I'm looking for you on the, can you wave your arm? There you are, right in front of me. Hi, Christine. I I'm just feeling this. I would invite us all simply to do a heart hug on ourselves and give thanks. And what I'd like to lead us now is in a body blessing. And the way we're going to do a simple one first. And this was actually, it's in the book that my sister Robin Hood and Mandy did on Tea Touch for You. And there's a long article by Robin Bernhardt and Sandy Rakowitz about an ongoing study they did with a study group for brain injured people. And what they found, they came once a month with a caregiver. They're all people who couldn't live alone. And they found that if you would just take whichever hand is easy for you, and I'm going to take my right hand and come simply down, just gently touch, I'm going to touch the top of my head. And I'm not resting my hand. I'm just connecting with my hair and doing a very light circle and a quarter. And now I'm going to just come down with a breath. And I'm going to imagine, I'm going to imagine that I'm standing under a waterfall in a beautiful grotto. And you can make up your own picture where you would like to be with a perfect temperature and totally safe and totally inspired by the nature around you. Just feel the trees, feel what is the water on your feet, and come down. Just imagine with your hand, take your hand lightly and imagine that's very lightly the water cascading down the outside of your body. And if you can't, if you're lying there, just imagine it. So you don't have to, don't stress yourself reaching, but wherever you can reach with your mind or your hands, just gently let that water just cascade down the side. Oh, wow. Yes. And move your body a little bit wherever you're. Imagine what this is like. There's nobody else around. You're just feeling like totally a part of the sunshine. It's just perfect temperature. And listen, imagine you can hear the birds. What are those bird songs you hear? And when you step a little away from the water, just pull into your nostrils. It's like, what's the beautiful, like, scent you can smell, the freshness of the water, the freshness of the air. And now take the other side, go down the other side, cascade, imagine this drops of water, just like, and imagine the sunlight sparkling in the drops of water and make it like a wow factor. Oh my gosh, I'm here in nature. I'm just, I'm feeling so incredible. Make this your imagination, make it up. Down you go, down the sides, and then feel it's coming around your feet. And I'll take the front to the front of this, and I say, and use your breath like I'm doing it, like deep breathing deeply through your nostrils. And know as you do this, you're activating that oxygen, that nitric oxide, and then yes, and this perfect temperature just splashing on, feel it on your breasts and on your belly and down your legs and yes, onto your feet. And and now turn in your waterfall and get the cascade down your back over your head. Let your hair flow under it and feel it on your back. Feel that down your body. And now imagine yourself standing there as this cascade, this water cascades over you. Imagine you standing there and come bring a song to your, or a humming, just like what's the tune that you're humming or feeling as you're moving your body. Move your shoulders, lift them, move your arms, like hold them out to the water. Reach out, hold your hands out. Feel that water coming into your hands and take it to your body and give that gift, splashing the water onto your body. and feel, wow, like yourself as you hum or sing a little ditty or whatever. Feel that. Now, I'd like to call in. I want you to call in whoever. Imagine in this beautiful place where you are. Bring in birds around you who can fly around you, flitter. I'm bringing in some hummingbirds. I want to see their wings. I want to see that light, that gorgeous light and the colors on their wings. And bring in your animals. Many of you have your animals around you. Bring them there. Let them imagine if they're dogs and the kitties. Bring in your kitties. Now, some of them may want to sit on the outside, but some kitties may join you and actually feel this and run and jump around the rocks that are around you and really have a good time, whatever. And some of you will bring in your horses and feel them like throwing their heads and throwing the water off their mane and splashing it on you. Play with this. And some of you may have magical animals. Maybe they're, you may have unicorns around you. Let's bring in some magic into our lives. What is the magic that we just imagine this childlike feeling of this absolutely priceless feeling of freedom to do and be and feel whatever you want on your body with your friends around you. And for those of you who don't have animals, call in some birds. See who comes to you. There may be animals who come out of the forest to be around you. Make note of who that is. Talk to them, smile, laugh with them. And now just stand there, just sit there, just lie there quietly. And know that you can go there anytime. And when you can't sleep, go to a magical place like this and use your imagination. It's our imagination to feel, to connect with those around us. Creative, be creative. And call in this intuitive knowing. Open yourself to that intuitive knowing of this blessing to be in this body, no matter what it is for us. And just wherever you are, if you're lying, roll a little bit. If you're sitting, rock a little bit. If you're sitting, rock your pelvis in a figure eight, that infinity movement, and feel the movement, feel it up in your back, move your shoulders as you take that, like, oh, arch your back gently and just change direction. How is that going? The infinity sign in the other direction. Feel it up in the neck and keep going back to that feeling of water as you're doing this. Get creative. How would you be? You're imagining, you're standing there and moving, but and your actual physical body, move it and celebrate. Just feel. What are you feeling? If you have something you can write with, just write a couple of words that come to you. What are you feeling? Something that will help you remember this. My hand is, one hand is coming to my heart chakra, and I'm going to take it down to my belly and get the bottom of my vagus tree system. Now, I'm going to make our pause, our 10-minute pause early here. And I'm going to ask you, actually, we'll just take 5 minutes here. And I'm going to ask you to write some of the feelings you had about that. Some of the images or any, yes. Write some positive, if any, yes. Then I'm going to ask you to share whatever you feel like. I'm going to take 5 minutes and do this.